chronic fatigue syndrome is a debilitating condition that has a history of being disbelieved or ignored by a lot of the medical community. Also known as myalgic encephalomyelitis, or MECFS, it's gotten some attention from specialized researchers and doctors over the years. Now, the few doctors who do treat the condition are in the limelight because it looks a lot like long COVID. We're talking about the connections between chronic fatigue syndrome, or MECFS, and long COVID. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had chronic fatigue syndrome yourself in the past? Are you dealing with long COVID now? Can you share your experiences, your quest maybe to find treatment? What questions do you have for our guests about these conditions? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Jamie Seltzer is Director of Scientific and Medical Outreach for ME Action and a researcher who studies post-exertional malaise with Stanford University. She's also living with ME-CFS. Jamie, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
And Dr. David Kaufman is an internal medicine physician at the Center for Complex Diseases, which he co-founded. He's former medical director of the Open Medicine Institute. He specializes in chronic infections, ME-CFS, and other chronic complex illnesses. Dr. Kaufman, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Jamie, I want to start with you. You're in a unique position. You research this. You do outreach on it. You're also experiencing it yourself. Can you give us a sense of what life is like with this chronic fatigue, this MECFS?
Well, I think that it differs person to person, but just to give you more of the average picture of what the disease is like, 25% of people with this disease are housebound or bedbound, and the quality of life is on average lower than that of any other disease to which I am aware it has been compared, including things like multiple sclerosis, chronic renal failure, many different kinds of cancer. And the reason that that quality of life is so low in comparison to other serious diseases may well be because there are no FDA-approved medications, clinical education is scant, and a lot of people don't get a diagnosis or any kind of intervention or treatment for a very long time. I think that the fact that this disease often has onset in the teens and the early 30s means that for the latter group, people are just beginning their work life, their professional life. Maybe they've just gotten married, just had children, and their ability to do their usual activities disappears overnight. And it can feel like they've lost their old life and they don't know what to do.
And Dr. Kaufman, you've treated a lot of people with ME-CFS, and I understand you're working with long COVID patients now as well. What goes into diagnosing this chronic fatigue, this ME-CFS?
So first, I think Jamie gave a really great summary of the problem and the situation. The first thing I would say in terms of diagnosis is taking a very careful, comprehensive history. So many of the patients that I see have been sick for 5 to 25 years. They've been to 5 to 50 physicians, mostly just told that they have fatigue or that they're anxious or they're depressed. But if you sit down and you take a careful, comprehensive history, which can take a good hour to 2 hours, and that's part of the problem, you learn a lot. And what I do is look for the parameters, the criteria that define ME-CFS based on the Institute of Medicine work in 2015. But way more than that, look for the underlying causes, which I believe relate to the presentation or the phenotype of ME-CFS.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit, Dr. Kaufman, about the causes of chronic fatigue syndrome?
Okay, well, first of all, let me start out by saying I don't think anybody actually understands the cause of chronic fatigue syndrome. We have lots of ideas. It has been a mysterious and hugely challenging question. There is no specific biomarker. You can't do a culture for strep and say that means they have CFS. You can't do a blood test and get something that defines ME-CFS. So that said, to me, the underlying causes, about two-thirds of the time, it's Patients present after having had a viral infection most often. It can also be a bacterial infection in the tick-borne diseases, or it can be mycoplasma or respiratory chlamydia. But most commonly, it's a viral infection. And in that sense, similar to what we'll get into later, which is related to long COVID. And that viral infection, and now we're getting into a little bit of theory or speculation, that viral infection looks to kick off, cause autoimmune responses and reactions in predisposed or vulnerable people, and that then leads to a whole sequence or series of pathologies that lead to the illness.
And Jamie, you work on specifically post-exertional malaise, a key symptom in both long COVID, as I understand it, and what we're talking about here, ME. Can you talk about this concept of post-exertional malaise?
Absolutely. So post-exertional malaise, or PEM, is a response to cognitive or physical exertion that is pathological. So previously tolerated cognitive or physical activity will induce, often after a characteristic delay, a cascade of symptoms. Some of these symptoms are the usual symptoms getting worse. Other ones may only appear during the post-exertional malaise. And it can be quite severe. And it's part of the reason that patients present so dramatically differently at one time or another. If they have overexerted, they may have trouble even sitting up in the morning, moving around, difficulty initiating movement. They may experience significantly worse neurological symptoms, sensory sensitivity. And it can be sincerely debilitating. Post-exertional malaise is considered the cardinal symptom of ME/CFS and is required in order to diagnose the disease. For patients who come into the clinic, clinicians should be listening for words like, I feel weighted down. I feel like gravity has increased. I feel like if I overdo it, I can't move. I can't think. Even though I think that some clinicians have struggled historically to identify the disease, I do truly think that if they sat down a patient and got them to explain their post-exertional malaise, they would never mistake ME/CFS for anything ever again that was not ME/CFS. And I would also say that there's an enormous overlap with the long COVID community. There are now a handful of small studies from ME/CFS literate researchers showing that about half of people who have the long COVID label also meet the diagnostic criteria for ME/CFS.
We were talking about myalgic encephalomyelitis, or ME, commonly called chronic fatigue syndrome. Put them together, ME/CFS is a common name. We have with us Jamie Seltzer with ME Action and Dr. David Kaufman with the Center for Complex Diseases. You can join in with your experiences, your questions at 800-642-1234. And Dr. Kaufman, let's pick up on Jamie's last point there. What are we seeing in long COVID that leads to so much overlap with what we had looked at as ME/CFS before?
Well, from my perspective, both reading about it, talking about it with other colleagues, and most importantly, seeing patients with long COVID, I'm going to go a step further than what the literature Jamie said. I would say pretty much every single long COVID patient I have met meets the criteria for ME/CFS. All the boxes are checked. Again, it comes down to the physician asking the right questions and listening to the answers. Understanding that when a patient says they have fatigue, you need to ask more questions about what that means. And as Jamie points out, you need to get into some details. Is the fatigue after you climb the stairs, or is it the next day, et cetera, et cetera? And if you ask those questions with long COVID patients, you start seeing the same answers. Almost all the ME/CFS patients I see at one point or another have autonomic nervous system dysfunction. Every long COVID patient I've seen has autonomic nervous system dysfunction. So the overlap is huge.
And Jamie, what are you looking? Oh, go ahead. Yes.
I was just going to say, may I chime in on that to add to what David was saying? There are, of course, people who have explicit direct lung damage, and that's the cause of their long-term symptoms. However, what we tend to be seeing in these patients who are continuing to experience symptoms over a long period of time and who have these classic neurological symptoms, these are the patients that are ending up meeting the diagnostic criteria, and it is a large number of them. Right. Moreover, those that half or that about 50% number is also coming at a very particular snapshot in time for those patients. And the same patients who don't meet the diagnostic criteria today may meet it in 2 or 3 more months because symptoms don't always come on predictably. I know a patient in particular who did not experience PEM for the first 5 or 6 months of their long-term symptoms, and then they did begin to. So it is at that point that they would begin meeting the diagnostic criteria for ME/CFS.
We're talking about ME/CFS, more commonly known as chronic fatigue syndrome, and long COVID, and the overlap between the two. Our guests are Jamie Seltzer, Director of Scientific and Medical Outreach for ME Action, and Dr. David Kaufman, Internal Medicine Physician at the Center for Complex Diseases. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have chronic fatigue syndrome or long COVID impacted your life? Were you able to get some kind of diagnosis and maybe hopefully some treatment? If so, what questions do you have for our guests? If you work in healthcare, do you have questions about how to spot these things? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. The conversation continues coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Right now, we're picking up the conversation about what chronic fatigue syndrome can tell us about long COVID. A chronic fatigue syndrome, also known as ME/CFS. Jamie Seltzer is with us, Director and Scientific and Medical Outreach for ME Action. Dr. David Kaufman, also with us, Internal Medicine Physician at the Center for Complex Diseases. You could join in with your thoughts, your questions, your reactions. What do you want to know? Call 800-642-1234. If you have an experience to share, a question to share, 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Dennis joins us now in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi. What I've experienced is it's a downward spiral. Again, getting sick, get fatigued, try to get back up and get back at it, and fatigue just makes things worse, which leads to more stress. Stress causes more susceptibility to illnesses, and then it just becomes a psychological thing, too, where it's just almost like I wonder, well, geez, is this a habit or something, where it's just my subconscious just doesn't believe I can get up and get better? I'll hang up and listen.
Dennis, sorry for your experience with that. Jamie, have you heard that from other people where you start with this physical condition and, as Dennis says, it adds to this stress spiral and mental and emotional concerns at the same time?
I think in a general way, what I'm actually hearing described is the nature of post-exertional malaise. If you push past your new ability limits, you can make yourself worse. And if you push yourself again before you recover from that previous bout, you'll make yourself worse than that. And this is, it's very common to want to get back to your everyday life and get back to the way that things used to be. But this is a chronic disease. In using one of our older sets of diagnostic criteria, which tends to identify people who are less ill on average, with less severe disease presentation, 5% of people recover who are adults. So it's important to acknowledge limitations that have arisen due to the disease and adapt with the activity management strategy that we call pacing, which is to be active when you're able and rest when you're tired. And sometimes that entails breaking up activities into smaller pieces so that they're more manageable with rest periods in between. I think that that psychological reaction that our caller was describing of feeling as though if you only push hard enough, you'll overcome is very common. We're gaslighting ourselves in a way. This is the type of disease that's like a special knot where the harder you tug at it, the tighter it holds you. It is not something that you can push past with your willpower. And I would also add that this is part of the process of accepting disease and disability. We live in a very ableist culture, and we're certainly taught our whole lives in implicit and explicit ways, that the harder we work, the more capable we will become. And we're taught not to acknowledge our limits. This disease changes your limits, and that may be permanent. And accepting that is a process and through which we have to be kind to ourselves. You are not fooling yourself. It's not true that you're not trying hard enough. It's, you have to treat yourself like you would your closest friend or dearest family that we're going through this kind of experience.
Dennis, thanks for that call and thanks for sharing your experience. Dr. Kaufman, as Jamie says, it sounds like powering through is not the solution here. Are there kinds of treatments that can help people, though?
Yeah, so I, of course, totally agree with Jamie and the need for pacing, and we see the problem of trying to push through all the time, but I want to add another piece to this. Do not interpret what Jamie just said as that the person, Dennis in this case, should accept their fatigue. They need to make sure or look into, has somebody tried to understand what is driving and causing that fatigue? Meaning that just saying somebody has ME/CFS and that's why you have fatigue, for me, clinically, as a physician, is not enough. Has their blood pressure and heart rate been checked? Have they been examined for POTS? Have they been examined for autoimmune illness? Has anyone done laboratory work looking for chronic reactivated infections? Do they have something called mast cell activation syndrome? And every single thing I just said is treatable. It's diagnosable and treatable. And those are major drivers of the phenotype, the presentation of chronic fatigue syndrome.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Nancy is with us in Madison. Nancy, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Nancy?
Put our radio down.
Sure.
I don't hear you.
Yep, go ahead, Nancy. You're on the air.
Okay. I had COVID in March. Several months later, I started getting sick with multiple infections that left me with fatigue. several with high fevers. I talked to my doctor about it. I mean, I got at least six different kinds of infections. my doc said she called it post-COVID chronic inflammation and just told me to document it, which I did. But I could tell she had nothing to offer me. So I went to an herbalist kind of person who runs a store, and he told me to start taking, I'm telling you this because it was very helpful, fairly high doses of turmeric, 2 pills 3 times a day.
Nancy, we're limited on time. I don't know if particular herbal remedies have been studied, but Dr. Kaufman, in that situation, that office visit, what would you hope for follow-up as Nancy describes what she described to her doctor?
Well, it's some of what I said a few minutes ago. I would look for what those infections are. It's well known and demonstrated now that COVID leads to reactivation of Epstein-Barr virus, EBV. EBV is a classic virus in our ME/CFS patients as well. So again, the overlap. And that causes or can lead to a disturbance of the immune system, which can then lead to these other infections that Nancy is describing. The turmeric is interesting because this is a situation of chronic uncontrolled inflammation, and curcumin, which is the main ingredient, so to speak, in turmeric, is a potent anti-inflammatory medication. So that makes sense that she would feel better with it. The question is there anything else going on post-COVID leading to her long COVID symptoms?
Thanks a lot for calling in, Nancy, and sharing that with us. Jamie, what are you hoping for as someone who both deals with this yourself and researches it? What would you hope to see in the medical community when it comes to doctors being trained in recognizing and doing some of the diagnoses that Dr. Kaufman does?
I think that that's a pretty complex answer. I would say that this is a complicated illness. People like Dr. Kaufman are rare. We're hoping to educate more clinicians. Right now, I'm working with Mayo Clinic Rochester on their diagnostic algorithm and two CMEs, which is continuing medical education, in order to help educate more clinicians about the modern understanding of ME/CFS and infection-associated chronic disease in general, of course. I think that recognizing it in the clinic and understanding as a general practitioner what you can do in the clinic, you can do a quick test for some kinds of dysautonomia called the Nasaline directly in your clinic room. You can recognize post-exertional malaise and tell the patient that they need to rest and that they need to pace. And you can help refer them to the right kinds of specialized testing that they may need in order to detect some of the more treatable conditions that Dr. Kaufman was mentioning before, like MCAS and POTS. One of the things that we hear often is that standard blood tests aren't showing enough. And you may see things like lowered vitamin D or lowered B12 with pretty classical testing, but the kinds of immune, endocrine, neurological, metabolic dysregulation that are at the root of this disease are not found on these everyday tests. And so we need clinicians to become familiar with who is ME literate in their area for testing that's more specific to the immune system, to the nervous system, especially the autonomic nervous system and the immune system, so that they know who to refer to.
Thanks to both of our guests today. Jamie Seltzer is a director of scientific and medical outreach for ME Action and a researcher who studies post-exertional malaise with Stanford University. She also lives herself with ME/CFS. And Dr. David Kaufman is an internal medicine physician at the Center for Complex Diseases, which he co-founded. They talk to us about what chronic fatigue syndrome, better known as ME/CFS in the medical community, might tell us about treatment of long COVID.